for being counseled. It's the witnessing voice of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are being what? What does that mean? If you're going through life, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So we're following Him. He's leading us. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Am I right? Now, if you're a child of God, then is the Spirit of God leading you, or should He be leading you? Notice the emphasis, please, is that the Spirit of God leads us. The Spirit of God wants to lead us through life. These are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Pause just a second. You have been taught that Abba is daddy and father is father, daddy, father. That's not true. That's not what he's doing here. What this is really saying is Abba is a Chaldean word. It's a pure Chaldean word. That's exactly the way you spell it in the Chaldean. It's Abba. It means father. But what the Chaldean would relate to is the Jew. That was their basic language. Father there is a pure Greek word. And what that means is that would relate to the Gentiles. So whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, what he's saying here is that the same Spirit now comes in, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, and he's saying, Father, Father. We now have a Father, Father God. And what he wants to do in our life is lead us through life by his Spirit. We're together. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm going to come back there because that's the verse. And if children, heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Now, we don't want to talk about the suffering. But you will, if you're a son of God, go through some suffering for purification's sake or for just messing up sake or whatever. But if God loves you, He's going to chasten you. But to be glorified, to receive your crown, your rewards, and I'm turning some of you off right now, don't want to, but understand this basic principle, please. This is not my message. Why in the world am I doing this? Understand that your crowns, your rewards that you're going to get on the other side is basically dependent on what you do right now. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm not working for my salvation, but it's from my salvation that I work, because when I get on the other side, I want to rule and reign with Him. I want to have 10 cities. Now, back to the verse. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Where? I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and some of you didn't like it. But the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Where does His Spirit... Where do we bear witness with His Spirit? Where? In your mind? In your feelings? In your emotions? In your intellect? In your senses? Where? In your spirit. God is a spirit. What God wants to do is communicate with your spirit. Where is your spirit? We talked about this. It's in your belly. It's in your innermost being. God is not going to minister to your emotions. Ask Elijah. You get in your downtime, God's not going to care about that. What God is going to do is come to you and minister and bear witness with you in your spirit. What He says oftentimes will not make sense to your intellect. What He says oftentimes to you will not make sense to your senses, will not make sense to your emotions. Because that's not where God bears witness with you. Those that are led by the Spirit bear witness with His Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with His Spirit, and we go through life not listening to the world, not listening to our angels, or not listening for an audible voice. We're listening for our Spirit to lead us through life. Am I biblical? Is this what this passage is saying? If you're a son of God, you are led by the Spirit of God, and that Spirit is His Spirit communicates with your spirit so that we go through life successfully. And He came to give us life, and that more abundantly. Our abundant life is greatly dependent upon our ability for His Spirit to bear witness with our spirit. Galatians chapter 5 also tells us that we are led by the Spirit. Don't turn. Just don't have time. Led by the Spirit. Also, we produce fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. We also walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5. So we walk, we're led, we produce fruit of the Spirit. We are creatures, once we come into the be sons of God, what we become now dependent upon is hearing His voice in our spirit. Something deeper than your mind. Now, I know that to us, because the way we are, we think that what we see, what we hear in the natural, what we taste, feel, touch, smell, is more real than what we hear in our belly. But that's not true. What is more real, the natural or the spirit? The spirit is the more real. And so when we bear witness with His Spirit, then He is leading us. And the way He wants to lead us through life is by His Spirit. Now, what is the problem? How do I know if I'm hearing the Lord? How do I know if I'm hearing His Spirit? Well, there is a way. The reason that most Christians run shipwreck, the reason that most Christians don't really hear the voice of the Lord, or they mix it with their natural thing, their natural instincts, their natural wisdom, their natural intellect, their feelings, their emotions. The reason that they do this is because they don't get the witness of the Word. Now, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. The problem is the soul. The problem is that the soul messes us up. The soul wants to do things the way we want to do them. The soul wants to make sense. The soul wants to be pleasing to the flesh. The soul wants things its way. They are adversaries, the one to the other. They're constantly fighting. And so, to be led by the Spirit, we've got to understand that it has to be this witness. Well, how do I know if I'm really hearing the Word of the Lord? Well, you've got to get a witness. So let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews, because there's only one way that I know, there's only one way that I know that you can divide what you're hearing in your spirit from what you're hearing in your soul. Hebrews chapter 4. When I was getting my bachelor's degree in theology, I am a theologian, by the way. No, I'm not. The thing, my test. And I wrote in here from the verse that we're about to read. And I said, the only thing that divides soul and spirit is the Word of God, and referred to this verse in verse 12 that we're about to read. And the instructor wrote back, and he wrote back on my paper, and he says, can you prove this in the Word, that the Word of God is the only thing that will divide soul and spirit? The verse doesn't say it's the only thing, but I don't know of anything else that divides soul and spirit. And so what I'm wanting to say to you today is that the only thing that I know of, the only thing that I'm aware of that the Word teaches us will divide what you're hearing in your spirit from what you're hearing in your soul is the Word of God. And here it is in verse 12 of Hebrews 4. For the Word is quick, King James Bible says. NASB Bible says it's living. And pause just here just a second, because I want to make this point. This Word of God, and I've told you before, it's like a pack of seeds. You can take a corn seed, a real corn seed, and we have the technology today to make an artificial corn seed, and it would look just like the real corn seed. We even have the technology to put the same ingredients, nutrients or whatever, chemical stuffs into the fake corn seed, and you could look at them and you would not know the difference. You just wouldn't know the difference because they would look identical. We have the technology to do that. What's the difference? One's living, one's not. You plant them, one's going to bring forth a harvest, one's not. You read magazines, books about the Word of God, they may help you understand it a little better, give you a man's doctrine, but what you get planted in your heart, if you get a man's doctrine planted in your heart, it ain't going to produce nothing. But if you get this planted in your heart, there's going to be a harvest. And what you're going to produce is going to bring 30, 60, and 100 fold. There's a difference. This is living. It's God-breathed. God breathed on it. and it's living words. And so the first thing we've got to understand about this is it's life-giving. It's living. It's quick. Secondly, it's active. The NASV Bible says, King James I like better, it's powerful. How many knows that the Word of God is powerful? And it's active. It's always working. He sends it out. It doesn't return void. Then the third thing, it is sharp. How sharp is it? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's cutting all the time. It's just going. It's active. And what is the next thing it does? Piercing. Four things. It's alive. It's powerful. It's active. And it's piercing. Now, a lot of times you hear the Word of God preached and you don't like it. You know why? It's piercing. We don't like to be pierced. We don't like God to talk to us. Oh, no, don't like it. So we go. Now, hear me. Understand what I'm trying to say to you. The Word of God comes. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And then what is it able to do? Because of these four things, then what is it able to do? What does your Bible say? You read it. I'm not going to read it to you. What does your Bible say? Divides what? Everybody say that. Terry, is that your father? I heard you just made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that correct? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just interrupt my thing like that, but I just saw him there. Amen. He committed to the Lord Jesus Christ this past week. The week before this past. Recently. Word of God. All right, what does it do? It pierces and it divides what? Everybody say the Word of God divides soul and spirit. How do I know then if I am hearing my spirit bearing witness with His spirit? If I don't know the Word of God, there is absolutely no way that I'm aware of that you'll know. You've got to play hunches. You've got to guess. You're hoping that you're right. But what divides the soul and the spirit to me? What has helped me understand whether I'm hearing God or whether I'm hearing my soul is by the Word of God, which is able to save your soul. Now listen to me. I'm going to say something and I don't have time to teach it, okay? When we get saved, hallelujah, we think that our soul is saved. Is that biblical? No. What you are done is you are chosen from the, Mr. Wimson, you were chosen from the foundations of the world. Last week, you committed and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, you're chosen, am I biblical, Ephesians 1:5, you can look at 4 and 5. You're chosen from the foundations of the world, and then you're coming forth on that day that is appointed, you come into the submission of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, when you come, is there some things about your thinking that needs to be changed? How long have I been saved? Been saved all my life. I submitted to the Lordship about 15 years ago. I still think there's things in my life, in my mind, that have got to be renewed. I'm still thinking my soul still needs some help. How about you? So what we're understanding is then that the Word of God is able to save your soul. It's able to divide soul and what spirit. It's able to come in there and let you know what God is trying to say to you. Is it God? Well, you know if you know the Word. Now, I want to show you that it is the Word of God that saves our very soul. So let's look, first of all, I want to go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 15, 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Who has a King James? What does it say right there for sacred writings? Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you what? Wisdom. How many need some wisdom sometimes in decisions and being led through life? It's the Holy Scriptures that'll do it for you. Give you wisdom and leads to what? Leads to what? Jesus said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. The way we're really saved is by the Word of God. The Word of God changes the way we think, the way we do things. The Word of God comes into our life and changes our thinking and saves our souls. As we apply the Word of God, then our lives change. As we apply the Word of God, our families change. As we apply the Word of God, our finances change. As we apply the Word of God, our workplaces change. As we apply the Word of God, everything about us changes. The way we talk, the way we think. How many believe that I don't think like a lot of people think? Why is that? Did God just open up my hand and point? No, I spent time with God. So, we have it here. He says it's able to and lead you to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by the breathing of God. That's what inspired means there. God breathed. All Scriptures. God breathed on them. By God. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Sometimes you need these things in your life. To make right decisions, you got to know what the Word of God says. Am I wrong? Am I right? Do I need to do it right or wrong? What am I doing? The Word of God does that. That the man of God, maybe, and all women of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. For whatever that you want to do. James, chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness in humility, receiving the word implanted. Does King James say engrafted? Same thought. Get it in your heart. Get it planted in you. We've talked about that. Jesus said the sower goes forth to sow the seed. Be good soil that the word of God can get planted in, and it's going to bring forth a harvest. Bring it, get the word in you, implanted, which is able. Say is able. Is able to do what? Save your souls. The word of God is what makes you think different. The word of God saves our souls. It's the word of God. How do I know if I'm hearing the Spirit or if I'm hearing my soul? Answer me. Because it can divide. It can tell me if it's my soul or it can tell me if it's my spirit. A couple of examples. We're done. We were at a seminar not very, very long ago. And a minister at the seminar, if I were to call his name, most of you would know him, went out with us to eat. And this minister's ministry has grown tremendously. Just tremendously. And he really feels like the Lord is calling him into some other works, but he wants to stay attached to the ministry that he is now attached to. He feels like there's covenant. God has blessed him since he's been there. He has paid the price. He's warred with them. He feels a part of them. But he wants to go on now with what he's doing and branch out and go into a more in-depth personal ministry. And so he was sharing this with us over a meal. And initially, my initial thoughts was, sir, you're just in rebellion. You know, that was what I began to hear. You're wanting to take what God has blessed you with and make your own will. You're in rebellion and you're wanting to come against the man of God who is leading the ministry that you're now submitted to. And so I didn't say, how many knows he probably wouldn't have received that? And so I didn't share that with him. I just stayed quiet and listened to him talk. And so we got back into the vehicle coming back to the seminar. And I just got quiet because I wanted a witness. I wanted to minister to him. I wanted to really share something, but I didn't have a witness. And so I just listened. I said, Lord, I really would like to minister here. Would you share something with me to minister to this man of God? And so they were talking, and I heard them talking around me, and I just got quiet and just listened to the Lord, listened to my spirit. The Lord began to minister to me about Caleb and Joshua, how Caleb had been faithful for years and years and years serving Joshua, how he had battled with him and warred with him, how they had driven out the enemies. And then finally a day came, and God and Caleb came to Joshua, and he says, give me my mountain. I have served you. I'm faithful to you. I'll go to battle anytime you want me to go to battle with you. I'm still faithful, but give me my mountain. I want what's mine. And I knew that was God. I knew that was the witness, because it was totally contrary to what I thought I was hearing in my soul. It's the Word of God. So I ministered that to him. We sat there in the automobile and I shared that with him. He said, that's it. That's it. He says, I have been waiting. He says, I didn't want to be in rebellion. I didn't want to do this. I have been blessed in this ministry. I have really prospered here, and I didn't want to be in rebellion to this ministry. But I really needed to know, was it really God that was wanting to share this with me? And he says, and that confirms it. That bears witness with my spirit, and I know now. It's the Word of God. I do a lot of marital counseling. Marital counseling, basically, centers around, and you're going to end up talking about basic thoughts, communication, finances, sex. You're going to be talking about these basic things in marital counseling. And so I give them the Word of God. I never say what I think. When I counsel, I draw on this witnessing voice of God. what does God say? Then I know that it's right. I avoid what I think. I don't say, well, I think. They don't want to know what I think. What they want to know is what is right. What is wrong? What do I need to do? They're serious, they do. So the voice of God that I'm trying to share with you is a voice that will lead you through life. It's the voice I listen to as I go through life. And I hear the voice of God saying to me, I want you to branch out, do this, or do something different, or go here, or go there, or do something. Well, I believe God's told me. But now what I do is I begin to lean on men of God and women of God that are around my life, and I listen to them. And what I want to hear from them is the witnessing voice of God. I don't want to hear them say, I think. I want them to hear them say, give me a scripture, tell me what I need to do. I want the Word of God when I get counsel. So what I'm trying to share with you today is when you get counsel from anybody, and we all will get counsel sitting at a supper table, riding around in a car. You don't have to come and get a special meeting to get counsel. We get counsel all the time. But what you need to listen for is not what somebody thinks, but what does the Word of God say? Because your spirit will bear witness with His spirit. And how do you know if it's the Spirit? I'm asking a question. How do you know if it's the Spirit? And it leads you through life. It leads you through life. Close with this little story. You walk up to a house. There's a fence around the house. Right on the gate, there's this big sign in red bold letters. Beware of dog. How many believes you will listen to that voice? That thing has said something to you. It gets your attention, don't it? Doesn't it? And you won't go in there without looking. You're going to look. This is the witnessing voice of God. You'll be going through life and all of a sudden, whoa, beware, beware. You better stop. You better stop. There's an enemy out there, an adversary, and he goes about, how? As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's a dog out there. And a lot of times, there's a witness that you'll get. Whoa, beware, beware! That's the witnessing voice of God. Now, I know people have stood in my pulpit and told you that he's a gumless bully. Yeah. It's easy to say. While he's not chewing on your leg. I know a lot of Christians that's been devoured by the devil. They weren't gummed to death either. He's got teeth, buddy, and the Bible never says he's gumless. The Bible says don't give him a place. The Bible says if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll flee. You've got to know some principles. Don't give him a place. So when we go through times, and something's happening to you, there's a couple of things that can be happening. You could be going through a purification. There may be something in your life you really need to deal with. Or you haven't heard the voice of God. And God says, don't give him a place. Heads bowed. Pastor, I admit, I have not spent time in the Word of God like I need to. I don't sometimes know if it's God speaking to me or if it's my soul. I really don't know. And I want to, because I see in the Bible that God's always speaking to me, and that I'm a sheep of Christ, and therefore I'm following Him. He's always wanting to talk to me, but I don't know if it's always Him. And I really see today that I've got to know the Word of God better to have an abundant life. I admit that. And I signify that, and I confess it to you, and I confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Ghost, and I confess it to the Father God by the raising of my hand. If you don't know, if that's you, just raise your hand. It's most of us. Most of us, some of you have enough word in you. Not make mistakes anymore. I'm telling you, this is real. This is the realest message. I don't know if I've ever preached one that's more real. You got to know the Word of God if you're going to ever know if the Spirit is speaking to you. And so what I want to pray over all of us, and especially those of you who admitted it, because my hand went up too. Those of you who admitted it, I really want to pray over you. And all of us, that God will bring us into the place of having more time in His Word. That we'll stop being so intent on what I'm doing and understand that He wants to talk to me and He will lead me through life and give me abundance if I'll just let Him. Stand with me. Amen. Father, we admit it. We have taken Your Word so casually. the word of life that is God-breathed, that is real, that is alive, that is powerful, that can divide the soul and the spirit, the word of life that You are, the word, Lord God, we have taken it so haphazardly and we say, we'll read it if I have a chance. I'll listen to You, I'll pray, I'll try to hear Your voice if I have time. We admit it, Lord. We have put You on the back burner oftentimes in our life, and therefore, because of that, the dog has bitten us. We have been devoured by the enemy. We have made mistakes. But we confess it to You today, and Lord, we ask You to help us adjust our lives, that we'll have time to spend with You. We can hear Your voice. That we can get the witness of the Spirit with our spirit. We can hear You, and You'll lead us, and You'll guide us. You'll take us through life successfully. We can be abundant on this side, Lord. We can be prosperous on this side, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's all say this together. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to find time in my schedule to spend time with You. I ask You, Lord God, to help me make time to spend time with You. Not only reading, but hearing Your word. Help me, Lord God, make this commitment and help me to keep it. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, by the help of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Communion service tonight and water baptism. God bless you.